This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The legacy of the prophets عليهم السلام. If any of you have ever attended or heard of my lectures, you know that perhaps when I lecture, I don't lecture for free. So you need to know from the get-go, it's not free. But what I ask for you, now I'm not going to send my hat around to you to put some money in it. If you want to, I'm not going to say no though. All right. But what I'm going to ask is that you're with me in the lecture. I'm going to ask some questions and everybody takes part in the lecture. Because what happens, if I don't ask questions, what's going to happen, you guys are going to do like this the whole time. And then I'm going to start doing like this. And then all of a sudden, all of us are going to be doing like this. Okay? So we need, inshallah, we want to have an interactive sitting together, inshallah. And I'm going to ask general questions, inshallah. I'm not going to point people out. Because that's what our Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah used to do, rahimahullah. He would say, brother, get up and answer the question. So that's why I would go to his lessons, I'd make sure I get behind the amud, behind the pillar, so he couldn't see me. The problem is I'm big, so he might see one of my arms, so I had to try to sit like this, you know, so he couldn't see me. Because he would single you out, you know. And he would expect you as a student of knowledge to know the answer. And that's one of the things that we gain from our scholars, having respect for our scholars, and we take from them. I have many great stories with the Shaykh and benefited a lot from him. May Allah have mercy upon him. Why are we here today? Is the first question. We're here to study the legacy of the Prophets. All of us know that. But what do we gain? What do we hope to gain by studying the legacy of the Prophets?
Trying to implement some of their actions.
Very good. To implement their actions in our lives. Excellent. What else? Why do we study the stories of the Prophets, the lives of the Prophets? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself so much in the Quran mention their stories? To be role models.
Lessons.
Mashallah, it's written right here. Mashallah, answer. You guys didn't pay attention. Sometimes I do that. The smart students, they say when I teach them, sir, the answer for this question is in the exam. I say, yeah, but nobody pays attention to it sometimes. I know it's in there. Here's the answer right there. The key thing, so it can be lessons for the men of understanding, to reflect on them. So they can be our role models. So we can reflect on their lives. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messages to the messengers, one of the reasons, the hikmahs, the wisdoms behind choosing to send it through mankind, not sending it through an angel, sending it through another human being, in order to see the implementation of that risala, of that message, in the actions of the Prophets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the perfect example of the Quran. A walking, talking Quran sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, when she talked about the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, وَكَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that his manners were that of the Quran. Any good you would see in the Quran, you would see in the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Any evil manners that we're supposed to stay away from as Muslims, you would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the farthest from them. He implemented everything that was sent to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the main goals. They came to teach their people, to take them from the darkness to the light. What was the main foundation of the da'wah of the Prophets? What's the main thing that they called to? Tawheed. The oneness of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَاشْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Clear message. We have sent to every nation a messenger to worship Allah and to stay away from a taghut. And pay attention to the Quranic wording. When Allah says at-taghut, why do we use the word taghut? Because sometimes you go to the translations and they say we have sent to every nation a messenger to worship Allah as one and to stay away from a taghut. So that was a good translation. Helped us out a lot. No footnote, no nothing, mashallah. So what does it mean, a taghut? Good. Any other wording we could use? Any false deity other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything falsely worshipped other than Allah is a taghut. Even, not just the issue of clear shirk, even something, if somebody were to make laws other than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we were to follow them, it's considered a taghut. And that is when the ayah came down. An example of that is when the ayah came down, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله, that they took their priests and their monks as lords other than Allah. Adi ibn Hatim, when he was from the people of the book, before he was the Sahabi, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ما كنا نعبدهم, we didn't used to worship them. And he was surprised that he took our monks, our priests as lords. We didn't take them as lords. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, did they not make halal for you? That would Allah made haram. Did they not make haram for you? That would Allah made halal. He said, Bella. Yes, they did. And he said, didn't you follow me? Yes, we did. Tilka ibadatum. He said, this is their worship. You follow in this. Another form of shirk, a form of taghut. When you look into the message of tawheed, the main message, no doubt it's important. So we want to stop and reflect a little bit on the issue of tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and calling to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our job as Muslims to relay the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad was the last messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to all of mankind. Khatam an-nabiyyin. No prophet will come after him. Who relayed the message to you guys? Most of you guys were from Pakistan, right? Because he said in the beginning about the opening Kothar in Pakistan, huh? How did the message come to you in Pakistan? How did it reach you? Where did it come from? Follow this guy? Islam. Oh, mashallah. Bismillah. We're Muslims. Shahadu la ilaha illa Allah, mashallah. The Sahaba and their followers and those who follow him until it reached there, alhamdulillah. And that is a great blessing you need to go home tonight and think about every night. Every day you wake up in the morning, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because your neighbors, 800 million of them, we'll sing out our brothers, 200 million that made it, were saved, mashallah, inshallah. The 800 million of them, what are they doing? Worshipping cows. You could have been like them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you and guided you to Islam. You have to be thankful. And you have to relay the message. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the Tawheed in Mecca. Everybody knows this. But there's a misconception that he stopped calling to Tawheed, or not he stopped, but it's no need for us to do it today because khalas, we're Muslims now. People say we're already Muslims, all of us say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So why focus on Tawheed? Let's focus on the bigger issues. Let's focus on the issues of Khilafah in this. Is the Khilafah important? No doubt it is. But is it more important than Tawheed? Not more important. No. What's more important? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went to Medina, the Tawheed was strong. It was firm in the hearts of the believers. So he started to talk to them, or to the other ayat came to him, started to teach them about the different laws that came in the Quran from his sunnah to teach the Muslims. And they started to learn more and Islam started to spread after the Tawheed was strong. But did the da'wah to Tawheed, did it stop there? Did it stop? It didn't stop. And I'm going to show you how it didn't stop. In Surah Al-Baqarah, as soon as you open up the Quran, the first order that pops out to you, the first command, what is it? On Surah Al-Baqarah, open up now. First page here on the left. Open up again. Second page, third page of Surah Al-Baqarah, fourth page of the Quran. The first command, the first amr, the first order that pops out to you as a Muslim, as you're reading the Quran, what is it? Ya ayyuha an-nas u'budu rabbukum. O mankind, worship your Lord. The order of Tawheed. The first verse right after that comes right after that. The first thing that we're forbidden to do as Muslims. What is it? فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادٌ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Do not make the law equals what you know, forbidding us from shirk. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That's the meaning right there in those two verses. When did Surah Al-Baqarah come down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In Medina. So the da'wah to Torah continued even in Medina. It didn't stop. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's on his deathbed. And I want you to think about this. We're talking about the legacy of the prophets. When you're on your deathbed and your children come to you, or those close to you come to you, you want to advise them with the most important thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the wisdoms, as we mentioned in the beginning about the stories of the Quran and the prophets being mentioned in the Quran, it wasn't just for us, for the followers to benefit from their way. It was also for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the scholars mentioned, because as he was chosen as the last of all the prophets to mankind, it's a heavy responsibility. The wahi, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how did Allah describe it in Surah Al-Muzammil? When he said, we're going to send down to you, what did he say? وَإِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We're going to send down a heavy statement to you. The wahi, it's heavy. It's difficult for the Prophet to take. Think about the fact that he's not just a prophet just sent to the Arab or just sent to a certain people like the prophets before him. That's a great responsibility. He is the last prophet, the last one that will bring the last and final revelation to all of mankind. That's a heavy responsibility. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when he saw the stories of his brothers before him, the prophets, he saw their legacy. It helped keep him strong, helped give him assurance, alayhi salatu wasalam. Helped him relax when he saw what his brothers went through as well. When he saw Ibrahim alayhi salam dealing with the same situation he was dealing with. The main problem was what? Shirk. Worshipping Asnam, worshipping the idols. Also the people of Quraysh, the same thing. Nuh, the same type of da'wah. What did they do to Ibrahim? Did they accept from him? What happened to him? They put him in the Hilton for a few days. Right? They put him in the fire to kill him. They didn't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to come make it barit and cold for him so he could hang out there in the fire. They didn't think it was going to be like that. They're trying to kill him. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, didn't realize the difficulty at the beginning. Or didn't know what was going to happen. When he sees what happened to his prophets, he was told from the beginning what was going to happen though. From who? Who told him from the beginning? No. Now, before the ayah started to come down to him. The cousin of Khadijah. He knew right away. First of all, he's scared, alayhi salatu wasalam. This angel comes to him and tells him, read. He says, I can't read. You know, it's normal, I can't read. And he said, no, read. Angel comes to you. It's not something that's abnormal. Something in the human, that's why I say Jibreel, alayhi salam, didn't come to the people and they wouldn't see him in his full creation. It was too much for the human to be able to take. He goes to the cousin of Khadijah, Waraq ibn Nawfal, and he says to him, and he tells him what he saw. He said, this is the same angel that came to who before you? Musa and all of the prophets. The same legacy that they had, you're going to have the same legacy now. And he said, I wish I was with you when your people force you out. This is from day one. Day one da'wah to the Prophet ﷺ. What you're going to face as a prophet. Now imagine, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who was he to his people? What was his nickname before Islam? As-Sadiq al-Amin. The truthful one. The trustworthy one. Everybody loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of Mecca, all the different branches of Quraysh, they loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shocked. He said, "Amukhrijihum, my people. I'm the Sadiq al-Amin. Everybody loves me. They're going to kick me out." He told him, nobody comes with what you come with except for they are harmed. The legacy of the prophets right there. You're gonna follow their way, you're going to face difficulty. How does this affect us today as Muslims? If you want to be a practicing Muslim, anywhere in the world, Is it easy? It's not easy. But when you reflect on the legacy of the prophets before us, say, Alhamdulillah, helps you relax. Just as they went through difficulty, we're going to go through difficulty. The difficulty we go through, is it as difficult as what they went through? Not even close. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful with us because our iman is not that strong. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to him, and when in Quraysh the torment, the torture started to get too bad, too difficult, they said, make dua to Allah to us that He'll raise this problem from us, to find a solution for us. It's too much. We can't handle it anymore. He said to them, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, the people before us, they would come to them with the saw on top of them to saw them in half in order for them to relieve their religion, and that wouldn't turn them back from the religion. They would stay firm. They prefer to be sawed in half than to leave their religion. And what is it for us if we practice our religion? You might get stopped in the airport. You might get this. Might get, alhamdulillah. No big deal. Part of following this legacy, alhamdulillah. Just as the prophets had to go through, we're going to have to go through it, alhamdulillah. That's the tax you have to pay. For Jannah, inshallah. To follow that legacy. Alhamdulillah, go through difficulties. Allah is going to test you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet told us that Allah, He sent the angels to look at the Jannah and the hellfire. He said, tell me what you think. They said, nobody's going to hear about it except they're going to strive for it. And nobody's going to hear about the hellfire except they're going to stay away from it. And nobody is going to go to the hellfire and everybody's going to be in Jannah. That's what it's going to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them back again. And before doing so, He surrounded the Jannah with difficulties. And surrounded the hellfire with lust and desires. And He said, now go back and see it. The angels went back and they saw, they came back. They said, we're afraid that nobody went into the Jannah, everybody went into the hellfire. You think about that. It's a difficult, it's a test. As soon as you wake up in the morning, the test starts. When you hear Allahu Akbar, hear these adhans, or these alarm clocks that we have. Alhamdulillah, we have the adhan on our phones now. We should use those instead of these annoying alarm clocks. You hear that Allahu Akbar in the morning, and you turn it off quickly so you can snooze or whatever. This is when the battle starts with shaitan. What does shaitan tell you to do? You still have a long time till Fajr. You have a long day. You have to be a productive Muslim. Because shaitan's not going to come to you and be like, forget the salat, man. No, he's not coming to you. He's like, no, salat's important. It's the main pillar after the shahada, you know. But you have to be a productive Muslim. It's not really compulsory to go to the masjid. Come on, you know, there's a difference of opinion. Don't forget what this scholar said, that scholar said. He'll start bringing the fiqh down to you. You're like, oh yeah. Like, yeah, that's right. I forgot I heard that once. Yeah. Like, thanks, man. He's like, well, no, what you need to do so you can be more productive is get a little more sleep. And he'll say, you know, sleep until before the shuruq, 20, 30 minutes. And you go to teach along. No, I got you, man. I got you back. I'm here with you, man. I'm your boy. You're like, okay, man, thanks, man. You go back to sleep. And then the sun shines. It comes through your window. It wakes you up. The battle starts right then. The lust and the desires. When you look at the legacy of the prophets, the difficulties they went through. Yusuf alayhi salam, who showed us the beautiful example of what? What are the main things we gain from the story of Yusuf when we read it? Patience. All kinds of patience. I want you to imagine you're at work, working hard. And there's a fitna for you at work. And you know, you've been doing good, you've been controlling, lowering your gaze, but your boss, she's beautiful. Fitna. Alhamdulillah, if you walk by, alhamdulillah, astaghfirullah. Lowering your gaze. It's pulling back, it's like a magnet, but you're like, no, I'm not going to look. As you're sitting there, nobody, you're working overtime, trying to make a little extra money for your family, trying to perfect your job as a Muslim should do. The Prophet said to him, he told you that Allah loves for one of you, if he does something, he perfects it. So that's how you are at work. You're perfecting it. So all of a sudden you hear the door, it locks. And there's that beautiful boss or the owner's wife. And she starts to undress in front of you. Just be straight up. She's like, here I am. Hey, Talek, I'm here for you. Just me and you. Nobody else is here. And she tells you, look, you have two options. You either do what I want you to do. And in deep down, because you're a man, so you want to do that. Any man in that situation wants to do what he wants. You know, Shaitan's going to come to you. And that's natural for a man in general to want to do that, right? If it's not natural, you may have some issues. I don't know. But I mean, naturally inside, then that's what's going to be, right? So that's the natural inclination. So that's what you're going to do. Or you're going to get fired. Or I'm going to call the police and tell them that you locked the door. And that you tried to do this and this and this to me. Tried to assault me. Oh, mushkil, that's a problem right there, huh? So what do you do? Psh, got no choice, man. Astaghfirullah, Allah's before Rahim, you know what I'm saying? Might get a raise too, it's not at the end, you know? Astaghfirullah, Shaitan, he's working, right? And this is, and I mean, this is a sensitive moment. But what do you remember right there? Remember the legacy? Say, nah. Yusuf, what did he say? Alayhi salam. He said, that the prison is more beloved to me than what they call me to. Call the police. Use my phone. The legacy pops out to you. You see how they struggled. What they went through. The difficulties they went through. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he tested the prophets, he put them through difficulties. So their followers can see the same thing. How many of the scholars of Islam have been to prison? Just because they're calling to Islam, not doing anything else. Unlawfully charged. I was reading the other day, anybody here from Bangladesh? The number of scholars now in prison in Bangladesh, situation there is getting bad. I don't know the whole details, but I'm reading some things here and there. And this happens all throughout history. Those who are calling to the truth, they're going to get harmed. But when they see the ones before us, the legacy of those before, that's how they were harmed. That's no big deal. Khalas. The brothers in Egypt before, they said that was normal. So if you weren't put in prison, we think you something wrong with you, you know, because everybody went to jail back in the day. So none of us didn't go to jail. Alhamdulillah, now things are different, right? Alhamdulillah. But subhanAllah, this legacy, when you're reflecting on this ibrah, the lessons for the men of understanding, it paves the way for you. It shows you how you need to be as a Muslim. Yusuf, when he forgave his brothers, what do we gain from this? Do you hold the grudge? Our beloved Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came into Mecca, for the conquering of Mecca, the same people who had tried to kill him before he left, forced him out of the most beloved place to him, Mecca. He turned around, he looked to Mecca when he left, and he said, "Verily, you're the most beloved place to me. And if it wasn't for your people pushing me out, I wouldn't have left." Love this homeland. Everybody loves their homeland, right? You guys love, mashallah, you have the fan from your homeland, mashallah, to remind you, mashallah. The love of the... Alhamdulillah, it's natural. But love, they kicked him out of his homeland. Huh? They tried to kill him. They tortured his companions. The Prophet ﷺ, do you know how much he loved his companions? Look at the story of Musa when he died. Look how emotional the Prophet ﷺ got. Eyes full of tears when he saw how Musa, they couldn't even cover his entire body. How he used to be and how he strove for Islam, radiallahu anhu. The Prophet ﷺ loved his companions. The same people who sent the army to Medina and killed his beloved cousin Hamza, radiallahu anhu. Even Wahshi, the killer, when he became Muslim, he couldn't look at him because he loved his cousin so much. These same people who did all this, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do to them in Mecca when they surrounded him? He could have taken them out, executed them one by one if he wanted to. He said, "Antum al-tulaqa, you're free. Free them all." Yusuf, his brothers, forgave him, khalas. He forgave his brothers right away. Because he knows what he gets from Allah is more. To be forgiving. And reflect on this when we deal with our family members. Hold grudges for years. We don't give salams to our family members because they disrespected us. They looked at us funny. Some silly thing, silly custom. And we cut off our family ties. The prophets, did they have different messages or the same message? In general, the same message. There was a little bit of differences in what? The Sharia, the legislation. But in the basic law, basic religion, all of it was the same. All of the religions of Islam, all of the religions of the prophets was Islam. Meaning submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them in the Quran, if you go home, you look tonight in Surah Al-Shu'ara. Start looking from verse 100 and down. When you come to the story of Nuh, when he's talking to his people. And then the story of Hud, the story of Salih, and the story of Lut, and the story of Shu'aib. All of them say the same thing at the end. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ Fear Allah and obey me. The message of all of the messages. Fear Allah. Fill your heart with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing what He told you to do. Stay away from what He told you not to do. And obey me. The implementation of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action. Follow my way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the love of the Prophet made it a condition to love Allah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ Say, if you really love me, or you really love Allah, then follow me. And you follow the Prophet ﷺ. Allah will love you and will forgive you for your sins. Follow the way of the Prophets. وَأَطِيعُونَ And obey me. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned something, and the Sahaba, when they heard it, they were shocked. He said, "Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah." "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah illa man aba." All of my ummah will enter into the Jannah except for he who refuses. All of my ummah will enter into the Jannah except for he who refuses. The Sahaba were shocked. And I always tell my students this at the beginning of the year, by the way, when I teach them. Because I teach. I tell them, all of you will pass except for he who refuses. Who's going to refuse to pass? A lot of you, unfortunately. Huh? So the Sahaba was shocked. They said, who will refuse? He said, مَنْ أَطَعَنِي دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَعْصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى Whoever obeys me, he went in the Jannah. Whoever disobeys me, then he has refused. Simple. It's like 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's that simple. You obey the Prophet. تَقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ Fear Allah and obey me. The message of the Prophets. The Prophets, alayhim salam, they came as warners to warn their people. And as people to give glad tidings. As we read every Friday, but perhaps we don't reflect on it. We're in a hurry. We're in a race to finish. Which surah do we read every Friday? Surah Al-Kahf. What is the wisdom behind it? It's 110 verses, so it's long. It keeps you busy. When Imam Sahib is a little bit late for the khutbah, comes a little bit late, so you have some extra things to read. There's wisdom behind the Prophet ﷺ prescribing this every Jummah. So much in it. From the wisdom is in the middle. In verse 56, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَمَا نُرْسِلِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنْدِرِينَ And we do not send the messengers except for as those who give glad tidings and warners. The Prophet ﷺ came to fix the problems that they found in their society. When we look into their legacy, their da'wah was focused on tawheed, on solely worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Filling our hearts with the love and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Him and obeying and following the Messenger. But they also, because they're the legacy, they're the ones who we follow in their footsteps, they focused on fixing the corruption and the problems in their society. When we look at the story of Hud and Ibrahim, what were they, Ibrahim and Nuh, excuse me, what were they focused on? The main thing in their da'wah, the main problem they had with their people, we mentioned in the beginning, the worshiping of idols. We look in the da'wah of Hud. His people had an issue. What was it? That they were too proud. Too arrogant. So he had to try to cure this problem. Salih. What was the problem with his people? That they used to corrupt upon the earth. And follow those who were corrupting upon the earth. He came to cure this. Shu'aib. His people used to cheat the people when they would weigh and sell and buy with them. They would cheat them. No Muslims do that today, though, alhamdulillah. Huh? Muslims don't cheat anybody, right? And the thing for the Muslims, subhanAllah, we look at the legacy. And one of the main things after the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shu'aib, he came as a guidance to us as well, not just his people, about the dangers of cheating people, about the danger of lying when we deal with people. And on top of that, our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to the marketplace to show how the true ruler should be, went to see what was going on himself, when he put his hand into the grains and found the bottom of it was moist, he said, "Ma hadhi ya sahib al-ta'am?" He said, "What is this?" He said, "The rain fell on it. I didn't want to put it on the top because somebody wouldn't buy it if it looked like it was ruined." And he told him very clearly, very straightforward, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." Whoever cheats us is not from us. Not from us. Didn't say he's a bad Muslim. Not from us. That's serious, man. A Muslim who cheats needs to think about that. Shu'aib, his da'wah, is based on this. It's the main thing he's focusing on. The Prophet ﷺ said, "You're not from us if you cheat, man. It's dangerous." Lut, alayhi salam, had to go through something, subhanAllah, never before. Ma sabakukum, he said. Nobody in the history of mankind has done what you guys have done. What is wrong with you people? You leave the women and go to the same gender. He said, "This is not normal. Nobody in the history of mankind has done this." He's trying to solve this problem. Did they obey him? No. Nuh alayhi salam, how many years was he calling to 950. Did they obey him at the end? His own wife and his own son rejected his da'wah. And all of this shows us that we must follow in the legacy. We must call to what they call to. And it's not upon us whether people answer or not. So many people say we want to give da'wah, but people don't answer us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the best person to ever walk the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Innama alayka al-balagh." It's upon you to relay the message. He told him in the other verse, when the most beloved person to him, his uncle, Abu Talib, refused to accept the message. He said, "Just say it." He knows it was the truth. By the way, Abu Talib, he has poetry in Arabic, which talks about the oneness of Allah, which talks about the truthness of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew it was the truth. He followed and he protected the Prophet and was willing to die for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did more for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than any of us probably will ever do. But he wouldn't say that word. He wouldn't say the shahada. The weakness he had, what people were going to say, like us today. He would say, "Why do you leave Islam?" Say, "Because, you know, what are people going to say? You know, I'm scared." He refused to accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "Innaka la tahdi, la tahdi man ahbabt, walakin Allah yahdi man yasha." "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt, ya Muhammad." Muhammad, you do not guide who you choose, but verily Allah guides who you will. A message to all of the people, all of the followers who are calling to that message. You must relay the message. It's your duty. But if people accept it or not, that's not up to you. There's only so much we can cover and only so much we can remind ourselves. If we were to sit here until Fajr and then continue and continue and continue, days and days, we wouldn't be able to cover all of the legacy of the prophets. The main goal of this, inshallah, is a quick outline, a quick reminder about some of the legacy of the prophets. And that the goal of us studying this, as I says here, for us to reflect on the lessons that we gain so it becomes part of our life and so we can follow in their footsteps. And inshallah, I'll turn over the mic now to my brother, Sheikh Asim al-Hakim, inshallah ta'ala.